We are now seeking to discern what it means to be faithful stewards of God's gift of sexuality in the context of faith.
That was Bishop Mark Hansen, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, speaking earlier this week at the beginning of the General Assembly of this, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, the ELCA, in Orlando, Florida. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, on the docket for discussion and decision this week in Orlando, among the Lutherans who are meeting there, were several controversial issues, not the least of which, of course, was homosexuality in two respects, the blessing of same-sex unions and the ordination to the pastoral office of active homosexuals. And there were a couple other things discussed as well during that week-long session in Orlando among the Lutherans. We're going to be talking about it tonight, reviewing it, and finding out where this church body is headed here on Issues Etc. It's Sunday night, August the 14th, and we are a live call-in program. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address for your questions and comments as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest this evening to discuss the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Dr. James Nestegen. He's professor of church history at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Dr. Nestegen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much.
Well, we have to first sadly note a frequent guest here on the program, colleague of yours and friend to many, Gerhard Ferdy, died earlier this week. Your thoughts?
It was long in coming. Gerhard suffered from a very unusual form of Parkinson's disease that started to take his abilities away from him about 3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, and it slowly squeezed the life right out of him. And so he took a bad turn a couple of weeks ago and died on Tuesday. His funeral was Friday, and the preacher was Stephen Paulson from the Luther Seminary faculty, and though I was unable to be there, it was, from everything I've heard, a funeral that celebrated the gospel of the resurrection.
How would you describe Gerhard Ferdy's legacy?
There's a group of us in the ELCA that come out of what's called the Old Norwegian Synod. Our pastors were originally trained at St. Louis, and we've been closely associated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, both individually and as a group, ever since. And Gerhard brought that legacy from his family, and he thought it through faithfully in light of some of the contributions of Karl Barth and other great theologians of the century, especially a man named Hans-Joachim Ewald. And he had an absolutely outstanding gift as a teacher that was especially telling in the his work in the classroom as an evangelist. Many, many students spoke of having been converted to the faith by his advocacy and preaching. So he was a wonderful teacher and an outstanding theologian.
Dr. Nestegen, turning to the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, now concluded in Orlando, Florida.
Right.
I've been following this as closely as I could, and I am still confused. Was this good news or bad news?
I think it's when you begin with a presupposition that the scripture is ambiguous, when you begin by dismissing the biblical word that's been held by the church since the very beginning, and when you begin by trying to tear open questions that are settled by the scripture, you are going to wind up in confusion, and that's pretty much what happened there. When you turn the lights out, you shouldn't be surprised that it's dark when you get to the end of the room.
Dr. Nestegen, what exactly was decided on these two issues, take them one at a time, if you will, the blessings of same-sex unions or marriages and the ordination of active homosexuals to the pastoral ministry?
As I understand it, there's a kind of a soft no on the second and a little bit firmer no, or a soft no on the first and a little bit firmer no on the second. The leadership of the ELCA is trying to open the question of blessing of same-sex unions to pastoral discretion so that pastors could move on their own with people that they know. But as I understand it, the assembly was tentative about that. It voted against the ordination of practicing homosexuals, but by a margin of 13 votes.
So, as one commentator has pointed out, while this is good news, the outcome of the vote, it is still quite true that nearly 50% of the delegates there in Orlando of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America were in favor of the ordination of active homosexuals to the pastoral ministry.
It's worse than that. The vote was required a two-thirds majority, so it was 13 less than a two-thirds majority that voted for it. That's very discouraging, of course. It's an indication of a couple things. First of all, there's a structural flaw in the ELCA in which the representatives or the voting members, as they're called, are have no responsibility whatsoever to the congregations or to the people who elect them. They're free agents, and of course they've been freed so that the national offices can work on them and seek to push them in the currently desired direction. That means that the assembly delegates really have no responsibility or accountability to the church for their vote. The second problem is that, of course, the gay advocates mounted extraordinarily intense pressure tactics at the assemblies over the past several meetings and relied on intimidation to try to push the delegate or the voting members in a particular direction. And from what I'm told, that pressure was so intense at the meeting or at the Orlando Assembly that it backfired and caused a reaction that eventually undermined the vote.
Dr. Nestegen, you mentioned before in your summary of what happened there in Orlando the authority of Scripture and the difference that exists there in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Right.
With regard to the authority of Scripture, here is Bishop Mark Hansen, the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and his take on what role the authority of Scripture played.
I don't understand this recommendation to be reflective of a lack of conviction to the authority of Scripture, but it recognizes that as Lutherans, we don't all agree on the interpretation of Scripture. And that's simply who we are.
Dr. Nestegen, your reaction to Bishop Hansen's characterization?
It's a weasel. It's evasive. It's manipulative. It's deceptive. It's simply not truthful. There was a famous controversy fought in the Reformation between Luther and Erasmus, in which Erasmus argued for the ambiguity of Scripture and Luther for its clarity. Erasmus argued just what Hansen argues, that because Scripture is interpreted, it's possible for different interpretations to have validity. In fact, Luther argued against that Scripture corrects itself. That where there are passages in Scripture that are not readily interpreted, the overwhelming clarity of Scripture clarifies what's obscure. To say that the Scripture is obscure on homosexuality when something like 99% of the world's Christians since the beginning of the church have agreed that it's overwhelmingly clear is simply to dismiss the authority of Scripture. And as I hear Hansen's comments, it's an attempt to rehabilitate his own desire to evade the scriptural authority on this matter.
Folks, our call in number 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'd love to hear from some of the pastors and laypeople in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America as we discuss the General Assembly with Dr. James Nestegen. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fakencher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues Etc., but what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthe, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
How would you like to meet Issues Etc. regular guests Wesley Smith, Beverly Yonke, Gene Edward Veith, James Lamb, Bob Weiss, David Menton, and Nathan Jastrom all in one day? Well, they'll be speaking at the Image of God Bioethics Conference Friday, November the 11th at the Sheraton Westport Lakeside Chalet in St. Louis. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and join us as we broadcast live from the Image of God Bioethics Conference November the 11th in St. Louis. We're talking about the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with Dr. James Nestegen during this hour of Issues Etc. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss Eastern Orthodoxy. Dr. Martin Noland of the Concordia Historical Institute and Craig Parton of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights will be our guests. What's the difference between Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? What caused the so-called Great Schism in the 11th century? Why have some prominent evangelicals gone east? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Marty Noland and Craig Parton. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of August, click on the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure to find out more about some Christ-centered, cross-focused retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They'll be hosting a catechism, a confirmation, a lay leadership, and a Luther hostel retreat this fall. Just look for their logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Nestegen, how did the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America get to this point where they have in effect, or where they're even considering, but in effect approving in a soft way, things like the blessing of same-sex unions with pastoral discretion, very close to approving the ordination of active homosexuals?
I think a couple of things happened. The ELCA and Missouri have had two different attitudes towards American culture, whereas Missouri has steadfastly attempted to maintain its integrity over and against the culture. The ELCA has sought to define itself in relation to the culture, and thus to has put a lot of stress on being open and accepting and yielding. And of course, as Gerhard Fruedi himself liked to joke, there are some open minds that need to be shut down for repair. In this case, openness has turned into indiscretion, and indiscretion has become celebrated as the chief virtue of the church. And so maintaining standards and historic standards, maintaining ecumenical standards, maintaining confessional standards is viewed as repressive and hostile.
This is something that concerns me about my own church body. Is the ELCA bureaucracy from the headquarters there in Chicago calling the shots while the theologians like yourself are left standing on the sideline?
That certainly happened in the ELCA, and it's happened pretty dramatically over the last couple decades. In the ALC, the American Lutheran Church, which was this kind of the center, the theologians of the church played a major role and were considered to be very much as in Missouri, voices, traditional, the Missouri tradition, voices of leadership. The bishops and the national offices of the ELCA have steadfastly sought to minimize and sideline the theologians of our church, and so we've been pushed further and further to the edges and really have little or no voice in decision-making. There are court theologians. You know, there are some favorites who are chosen and who are asked to contribute because, of course, they're known to be bendable, malleable, serviceable, easily corrected. But the strong voices have been silenced.
So the court theologians are those that say, you tell me, oh bureaucracy and leaders of the ELCA, where you want to go, that's and I'll write a theological treatise that will support you.
It's about that basic, I think. It's hard to respect, of course. There are a few that have gotten in on the inside. Walter Bowman is one, a great example of this, who, you know, made his attempt to, with the Episcopalians, a lifelong or a goal. He's an example of an insider. There was Timothy Wengert at Philadelphia is another one who was on the Sexuality Commission and who, you know, argued the ambiguity of Scripture. So, I mean, these guys all know better, but somehow or another they get turned and. Of course, anybody that doesn't dance to the tune is not invited to the prom any longer.
Here is Frank Petrovic. He was a delegate to the ELCA General Assembly, reflecting on the issue of homosexuality.
So which human being has the right to tell me because of who I love, my call from God is not valid? A passage in Leviticus tells us we should stone disobedient children. We pick and choose the verses we take literally.
Dr. Nesigan, how do you respond to his, I guess it's essentially an exegetical argument there?
It's a flat-out, unvarnished enthusiasm. That is, and it's a fundamental problem in the ELCA right now. The notion is that I, as created, am whole and complete unto myself and therefore capable of defining myself, whereas Scripture argues an entirely different case. God created us. Good as creatures, but we are born in sin, and as sinners are always in need of other voices that challenge and denounce and accuse through the law and that free and heal through the gospel. So this Frank Petrovic, whoever he is, really represents another gospel. It is a gospel of a sinless self, created whole and, you know, really as created, and therefore self-determining, autonomous, free, and utterly beyond voices, or beyond correction. The idea that the church is selecting scripture and the use of the passage of Leviticus is a classical reductio ad absurdum, in which you take a passage that appears to be easily dismissed and use it to dismiss all. And it's a rhetorical fallacy that the church has that a lot of advocates have gotten away with, because we've got such poor leadership in the national offices and such poor leadership from the bishop on these issues.
Speaking of the leadership, the presiding bishop, Mark Hansen, had some concerns that he wanted to express about the general debate and the questions raised at the General Assembly in Orlando.
One of my concerns is that we not become so turned in upon ourselves in our differences over human sexuality and the place of gay and lesbian people in our church.
Dr. Nessigan, with 1 minute to respond, how do you respond to Bishop Hansen there?
Mark Hansen has been in the leadership of those turning the church in on this question for 20 years, 25 years. This question is on the church's agenda because of the advocacy of Mark Hansen and a number of other people who have made it a lifetime or a long-term, long-standing commitment to complain after the fact about the ELCA's absorption with this issue after his long-term advocacy is disingenuous.
We're talking with Dr. James Nessigan. He's professor of church history at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, about the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the U.S. We're talking about some of the issues that were decided. It's hard to tell what was decided sometimes, but I want to hear from you on this issue, and you can call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, we have some more audio for Dr. Nessigan to respond to and some other questions. Your questions and comments as well after this. We've all heard about the unrest, atrocities, and persecution in the Sudan. Well, LCMS World Relief is on the front lines of providing comfort and hope through several projects. They're helping to provide emergency food for children in southern Sudan, school books and supplies, grinding mills for Sudanese in refugee camps, and enhancements to St. Paul Lutheran Medical Center in Khartoum. Now, for more information on how you can help support relief efforts in the Sudan, look for the LCMS World Relief logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Their phone number, 314-996-1683. Late last year, the Republic of Sudan and the Sudan People's Liberation Army reached a peace accord. Many Sudanese who fled their homes will be returning. You can help the resettlement and the education of these refugees by supporting LCMS World Relief. issuesetc.org or 314-996-1683. LCMS World Relief.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Pastor Mark Schaefer. He's coordinator of continuing education and related events for Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mark, how can a layperson benefit from attending one of the fall retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary?
These retreats offer some specific training, like the one coming up September 30th and October 1st and 2nd is specifically geared for lay leaders of the congregation, people who are in the positions of president, vice president, elder, deacon, people who are in a position to, be leaders in the congregation can learn about what their role is and how they can work with the pastor. Also, there in this particular treat, there's a review of Lutheran doctrine. Who are we as Lutherans? What's our teaching? what are our beliefs, even talking about worship life of Lutherans. And so, and also there's a lot of opportunities to fellowship with other Lutheran Christians who are probably in the same boat, having some of the same struggles as leaders in the parish of how to deal with day-to-day running the congregation. So there's an opportunity to learn from the instructor and to learn from one another and to, you know, reemphasize what we are as Lutherans.
So do people who attend these fall retreats participate in the worship life of Concordia Theological Seminary?
Oh, yes. Every day there is chapel, and that is part of the schedule. We allow for the all the participants to go to chapel and to worship with the seminarians. And also, you know, they can oftentimes, if they're on, there's meals involved, they eat in the same cafeteria as the seminarians do. And so, yes, there's opportunity to interact with the seminarians themselves.
Finally, Mark, talk about the commitment of Concordia Theological Seminary to having an educated laity.
Yes, we're trying to offer these retreats and to encourage. We're hoping to get more people involved with these retreats. It's so important that, you know, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our lay people understand their role and how they fit in the church, you know, I think it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church, too.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, or our website, issuesetc.org.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. What's going on in this largest Lutheran church body in the U.S.? Dr. James Nestegan is our guest. Folks, you can meet Issues Etc. regular guests Wesley Smith, Beverly Yonke, Gene Edward Veith, James Lamb, Bob Weiss, David Menton, and Nathan Jastrom at the Image of God Bioethics Conference, Friday, November the 11th, here in St. Louis. Now, for more information on this conference, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and join us as we broadcast there live from the Image of God Bioethics Conference, November the 11th in St. Louis. Our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Nestegan, much has been made of the unity or the lack of unity in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And the question has been raised, of course, many times, if they decide to continue on the path they're on, what will become of this church body? It's already in decline. I think even Hansen, prior to his prior to the conference itself, the General Conference, the General Assembly, talked to the press and talked about we're talking about down to 86% of what they were before.
Right.
Now, here's Bishop Hansen talking about the nature of the disagreement and the nature of the unity that he thinks exists in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
I hope that we are experiencing this week the signs of a church that can have deep disagreements, but beneath those disagreements is a far deeper sense of the one who unites us and for what purpose we are sent into the world.
Well, as far as you can tell, Dr. Nestegan, what is Bishop Hansen trying to say?
I wish I knew. Hansen belongs to a generation trained at Union Seminary in New York in the 1960s who see the church primarily for its political advocacy. He comes from the family of one of the great Lutheran pietists in the whole history of American Lutheranism, and he can talk Jesus in an extraordinarily pious way, but where he really starts to put muscle to the wheel is generally on the political issues, and so the gay issue, and so the statement the assembly made on Israel, and so any number of other political issues. So, the first word from Hansen generally tends to be the political word, and the gospel word tends to be a kind of a secondary word, which he falls back and onto to protect him, to protect his flank. So you never really know. The standard joke when he was bishop in St. Paul was that no matter what day he went into his office, the calendar always said 1965.
What was meant by that?
That he hasn't gone beyond Union Seminary in New York in 1965, that he's still a political advocate who sees the church primarily as being useful for implementing political advocacy.
Well, here again is Bishop Hansen opining on where the church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, will go from here.
We will continue to discuss human sexuality, and within that, I am sure, the place of gay and lesbian people in our life, and because they are amongst us as baptized members.
So, Dr. Nest, again, what is he envisioning, and what do you think is most likely will happen on these issues of homosexuality in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
It's a very difficult question to answer. I think in some ways the schism has already happened in the ELCA. People who hold the tradition that are, biblically oriented, catechetically grounded, confessionally based Lutherans have tended to opt out of the structure, seeing themselves as having really no place within it, and those of us who have tried to hang in have generally been ostracized, pushed off to the side. And when you get that kind of a process, why, there's a de facto split. The strongest movement in the ELCA now is towards an association of biblically and confessionally oriented people who would stay within but put a leg outside. And when you get a vote like this where there's just 13 votes shy of a two-thirds majority, it pretty much tells those of us who continue to hold the biblical confessional standards that we're not welcome. And that we're welcome only if we're willing to confess that we hold one opinion among several.
Dr. Nett, go ahead.
So unity appears to be, the unity has been long gone, really.
Dr. Nestigan, if Martin Luther were around today, what would he say about the current state of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
That it's in desperate need of reformation, that the gospel has lost its priority, that the faithful distinction of law and gospel, in which the law receives its appropriate place and the gospel its final place, has gone missing in the ELCA. I mean, that's... you can hardly find more theological confusion that exists right now.
What would he think about this church body continuing to bear his name?
Well, I think it's a terrible embarrassment, actually. And I can't imagine. I mean, it'd be kind of fun to see him get loose on us for a while. I mean, it's certainly needed.
Our call-in number, and if you're calling now, you will be getting a busy signal. Keep on trying, because we're going to free up some phone lines here. 1-800-730-2727. And our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. With a few minutes before we go to our break, let's talk with Diane in Redwood City, California. She listens on KFAX. Diane, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, and thanks. And as you're speaking, wondering what Luther would say, I wonder if he wouldn't just hold up what he staked his life on, which was sola scriptura.
Yep.
And nowhere in any scriptural passage where God, not a man, as that fellow earlier asked, what man can say. No man maybe can say, other than someone trying to protect scripture, but certainly God himself said what he did say in Deuteronomy and in Romans and elsewhere, and he never amended those statements with, except if these people who, a man laying with a man or a woman who has foregone her natural relationship, is doing it in a long-term and committed relationship. There is no addendum to what God said, and it's so strange that ignoring it is so easy, and it's really frustrating. I'm not even a Lutheran, but when I read the Chronicle yesterday and read what had happened, first I welled up with frustration, and then I remembered that God also said that Satan will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ.
That's
even
right.
If political manipulation comes to the fore as it has. And
Diane, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Nestegan. Dr. Nestegan, your response.
Well, of course, she's exactly right. The biblical word is clear on this issue, and the biblical word is prior. I don't like to put it in such bare naked terms, but I will. These are the rules of the game. The church stands or falls by the biblical word. If the biblical word loses its authority, the game is over. And, you know, now we've got national leadership that, you know, want to stake their whole ministry on the ambiguity of Scripture. And, of course, what you get out of it is ambiguity, confusion, and a mess. The 99.5% of the world's Christians, including all Catholics and, Eastern Orthodox and most Protestants, hear the biblical word speaking with one voice, and we ought to listen.
Dr. James Nestegan is our guest, professor of church history at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're talking about the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now, Dr. Nestegan has mentioned the sad meeting of church and culture that is in evidence in the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, their decisions and their practices. A resource for all of us on this relationship between culture and church, answering questions about American civil religion and about the God of American civil religion, is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, called The Anonymous God. It is edited by two regular guests here on the program, Dr. Ken Sherbin and Dr. David Adams. It's $16.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about The Anonymous God, you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Anonymous God is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back from this break, we're going to be taking more of your phone calls, your questions, and your comments on the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with Dr. James Nestegan, Professor of Church History at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727.
One nation under God. In God we trust. God bless America. Is the God of American civil religion the God of Orthodox Christianity? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is titled, The Anonymous God, The Church Confronts Civil Religion and American Society. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can learn more about The Anonymous God on our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. regular guests David Adams, Ken Sherb, Al Schmidt, Ron Feuerhahn, Cameron McKenzie, and Mark Sell have all contributed chapters to this book. The Anonymous God costs $16.99 plus shipping and handling. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, titled The Anonymous God, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org for The Anonymous God.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy, there's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Talking about the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America during this hour of Issues, etc. You know, so much of this is really kind of a twofold encounter with culture. First of all, there's the culture's attempt to take over the Christian church, and then there's also, in sad cases like this, the Christian church's compliance, willing compliance, and conformity to the culture. Now, you can stand with us, Issues, etc., as we fight the culture's attempt to take over the Christian church and the church's attempt to conform to the culture, by joining our monthly donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. To find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, premiums like tapes, books, and transcripts, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Now, we have three options for you to support Issues Etc. financially. By check, just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Help us contend for truth in an age of anti-truth by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this week. Let's talk with John, who calls from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He listens on WEMI. Hi, John.
Hi. Dr. Nesigan said that the delegates to the homosexual rights advocates placed intense pressure on the delegates to the LCA convention to vote in favor of these resolutions. So I wonder if he'd elaborate on just what a sort of pressure this was.
It's a very good question. Thank you very much, John. Dr. Nesigan.
There are a couple of different groups that are been organized. I forget the name of the main one right now, but they have approached the assembly members, as they're called, beforehand with tapes and with phone calls, and then at the assemblies themselves, they are present as a large group in the hallways at the Indianapolis assembly, for example. They were wearing red T-shirts, which identified themselves. They lined up at the doors so that all the delegates had to go through a kind of a gauntlet on the way in, or all the members of the assembly. One of their chief spokespeople is Herb Chilstrom, who used to be the bishop, presiding bishop, and he patrols the back of the assembly wearing his clerics and kind of coordinating things. There's another former bishop that's involved with them, Lowell Erdahl, who used to be in St. Paul, and they're extraordinarily well organized. And the tactics at the assembly, apparently, from what I'm told at Orlando, they came down out of the visitors section onto the floor and were so aggressive that they caused quite an offense and got the backlash.
Dick listens on KGNW in Lake Forest Park, Washington. Dick, welcome.
Thank you. This is a two-part question, but the first part is really short. Is the Pulpit and Altar Fellowship with the Episcopal Church a symptom of, or has it served to speed up the trend that the ELCA is going on? And then those groups that have left the ELCA, why have they not gone to Missouri or even Wisconsin or CLC, more confessional groups, instead of starting their own new groups?
Two great questions, Dick. Thank you. Let's deal with the first one. Let's deal with the first one, because I know you're chomping at the bit to get to the second one, too. But is the fellowship with the Episcopal Church USA, is it a symptom of, or has it moved along the ELCA's trend in the same direction on the homosexuality issue?
If you'll permit me a little anecdote, let me say this. I'm a graduate of Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, and when I was visiting down in Texas, preaching down there a few years ago, I ran into some classmates, and I found out that they'd become Baptists. And I started asking why, and I discovered that in talking to them, that they had found the church in Texas that had the same social position that Lutherans had in their hometowns in Minnesota and North Dakota. Social placement has a lot to do with people's understanding of the church, and it has a lot to do with the ELCA's relationship with the Episcopalians. It's not really a theological movement as much as it is the leadership seeking to improve the class standing. So class loyalties, social placement loyalties, have come way ahead of confessional loyalties at that point, which they pretty much ignored and flushed in order to do this. So it's really been tricky for the national leadership, because, of course, they haven't wanted to be identified with the appointment of the gay bishop in among the Episcopalians, but they haven't wanted to back away from it either. And so they've been doing a real kind of evasive dance in relation to the Episcopalians. They've broken the agreement in a couple of different ways. The Episcopalians have, really broken the agreement themselves in a very significant way by this election, but neither side wants to talk about that, and it's a real mess.
And then Dick's second question, with only about a minute and a half to respond, Dr. Nastigan, why are those who do leave the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America not coming to established, more conservative Lutheran church bodies rather than opting for partnerships or forming their own confessions?
That's a very difficult question to answer, and of course, but the most appropriate question to ask. There are lots of us in the ELCA, especially out of the old ALC tradition, that see Missouri as our closest friends. I was listening to the program tonight in the breaks and listening to the ads for Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne. I hear the names of many close friends, and I also have many very close friends at Concordia St. Louis on the faculty. I think extraordinarily highly of lots of people on those faculties. At the same time, I'm quite disturbed by some of the things that are happening in Missouri right now, and the influence of the church growth movement, for example, and some other issues that are, and I mean, when you, Jack Bryce once told me, old Jack once told me point blank, he said, don't you ever leave the ELCA, they need your voice. And talked about his own difficulty in the transition. So there, it's a very difficult matter to leave one church and go to another, even though the theological issues are so desperate. There are a lot of us that will stay and shout and sing and witness and pray and, you know, celebrate the gifts of Christ Jesus until finally they push us right out.
Folks, we'll continue to respond to your phone calls and your email on the General Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. I see one or two free phone lines there, 1-800-730-2727. And our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We are coming to you live this Sunday night. It's the 14th of August. Write this number down. Call us during this break, 1-800-730-2727. We'll also be giving away some of James White's books on the same-sex controversy to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. issuesetc@kfuo.org is our email address. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. By the way, be persistent in your calling because we will be carrying on this conversation for an entire hour in the next hour with Dr. James Nestegan. It's profoundly sad, even when the decisions don't go as far as many feared they would. That is, well, yes, let's just openly ordain active homosexuals to the pastoral office. Or let's openly and honestly bless same-sex unions. Even when they don't go as far. Devil's in the details, and when I say devil, I mean devil. This is not God at work. Those who are advocating for these kind of changes in the church routinely say God's doing a new thing. And we ought to be out there on the cutting edge, right on the edge of the Spirit's wave as He does a new thing. And all they're doing, rather than listening to the Spirit of God, is heeding the Spirit of the age. You might call it the culture. You might call it the modern mindset, common sense of our present day age, conventional wisdom, whatever you call it. It is nothing other than the Spirit of the age, not the Spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ, who would call sinners, all sinners, regardless of their sin, to repentance in His name, and to forgiveness in His name, for He has been crucified and risen for all sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.